7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, summertime's here, and we thought we'd take a look at, what's going on with gas prices, energy demand, oil and gas, and so forth. Eric Smith joins us now, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. How you doing, professor?
I'm doing fine. How are you this morning, Tommy?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about gas prices. Where are they as it stands, I guess, historically, last year, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera?
Well, I think we're in pretty good shape. The good news is they're lower than they were this time last year, and that, you know, it depends on what you buy, but on a Louisiana average basis, the regular gasoline's about $2.70, and the premium's about $3.50. So we're in pretty good shape. Longer term, as in months, not years, we probably got most of 25 and 26 with stable prices, even going possibly going down a little bit. Of course, all bets are off if the tariffs kick in and if we have problems with the Middle East. They're the people that really set the price, and the price of gasoline, easily half of that price is the cost of the crude. So
why is the price of gas down?
It's down because the Saudis decided they would start producing more, and I can't blame it all on the Saudis. The U.S. is attempting to produce more itself with varying levels of success, I have to say. But we are producing more crude in the Permian, and we're trying to produce more in the Gulf of Mexico.
So this is what I try to always understand when I talk to you. It seems as though the Saudis have they're holding the strings. They're the puppet masters, because we can try to drill, baby, drill, or we can try to produce as much as we want. But all the Saudis have to do is open the spigot, and then there it goes, or not really?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. They are, as you know, an autocratic regime, so they don't have a lot of discussion when they decide to change the price. Mm-hmm. But even the Saudis have to debate with everybody else in OPEC. And, of course, right now their big bugaboo is the Kazakhs in Kazakhstan, who want to produce as much as they can. And that tends to be one of the reasons the Saudis are raising their production volume, is to try and teach everybody else a lesson. They did this once before, as you well know. So
yeah,
it's when they get ready to do it, it's like everything else, is a little bit of a lag factor. But for them, it's a relatively straightforward matter of issuing orders and orders being obeyed, and the additional spare capacity that they keep on hand all the time is allowed to come online. It's never more than 1 million or so barrels a day, but still in a 100 million barrel a day market, that's measurable. So it has its effects.
So if I'm going to draw three circles, one with the Saudis, one with OPEC, and one with the Kazakhs, Who is driving what? Who's leading what?
Well, the Saudis are the biggest producer, but the Kazakhs have some of the least expensive oil. They're also closer to China, so they have another land outlet, if you will, without having to go to sea. All the Saudi oil has to go by boat. So, you know, they have pros and cons. I would suggest, though, that OPEC and OPEC Plus, which even includes Russia, is overwhelmingly driven by Saudi intentions.
So it all comes back to the Saudis, accurate?
Yes, I think that's right.
So they can either, they pretty much control. When it comes to, here's I guess what I'm trying to get to, Professor, and I know this is very complicated stuff, but when it comes to how much we pay for gasoline, we want to thank this one, blame that one, but ultimately it always goes back to the Saudis, or not really Saudis?
Well, it goes back to the Saudis when you're talking about global supplies. But don't forget, every country on Earth wants to be sovereign of its own, control of its own destiny, and wants to be able to have some degree of control over the price of products that go to their public. In the case of the U.S., we have a range of prices even today for gasoline, the same standardized gasoline. Our premium gasoline, as I was saying, is, you know, selling somewhere in the $3.50 range. You could add a couple of bucks if you were in California. And it's not that they don't have oil, it's that they have a bunch of other costs and taxes that they've imposed on the oil they do produce. and they actively discourage producing oil, so they're actually importing both crude and gasoline into California today. They've got two more refineries representing about 20% of their capacity that's threatening to close down, one of them, Valero. They just don't put gasoline very high on their priority list.
With an eye toward the environment, Professor, that's why they're doing it?
Yeah, I think that's the primary argument would be is they want to control the environment, and they don't want to stop driving.
So they're going to make people pay more for gas is going to be the end result of this if you live in California?
And they want to mandate things like the use of internal combustion engines and cars. The rest of the country is up in arms over that, and although the prior administration, the Democrats, did give them permission to pass those kinds of rules, the current administration's actively rescinding them. So,
all right, let me take a break. We're going to pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Professor Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. If you have any questions, somebody text in, the U.S. produces more oil than Saudi Arabia. Do they, Professor?
They do. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just Saudi that the Saudis control. They control through these organizations like OPEC about a third of the world's production.
So if Saudi Arabia wanted to produce more,
as a single country, we produce as much, sometimes more than the Saudis or the Russians do.
But if Saudi Arabia wanted to produce more, they could?
They can. Yeah. And if we're talking 1 million, 2 million barrels a day, that's the maximum. They can ramp it up.
All right, let's talk about EVs as we come back. Somebody texted about they see a lot of EVs on the road. Does that have any effect on gasoline prices and demand? And does that, as a result, mean lower prices? We'll find out. We come back talking to Eric Smith, our friend, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. No questions too dumb. I prove that every time I ask one. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, 7:56 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, talking about gas prices being down from where they were last year and looking pretty good into the rest of 25-26. Accurate, Professor?
Yes, pretty accurate.
All right, let's talk about somebody texted in about they see a lot of Teslas on the road, a lot of EVs, and they're wondering if that in any way is causing for a diminished demand for gasoline, which means increased supply and therefore lower prices.
Well, actually, we all are seeing more of the EVs on the road, but they're very noticeable. I mean, a Tesla, you see from its profile or from the noise level or whatever you want to use as your indicator, we're overestimating how many of them are on the road.
Kind of like when you get a red car, all of a sudden everybody has a red car?
That's right. That's exactly the same thing. There's not a whole lot not to like about the electric cars, whether it's a Tesla or a Rivian or something else. It's a wonderful high-end automobile. It's an expensive automobile.
But I tell you what, I rode in one of these Lumieres in Washington, a hotel car, I guess it is. Have you ever been in one of those, Professor?
I have not. You're in a different tax bracket than I am.
No, not really. It was a comp trip, believe me. But it was it's like a very heavy ride, because I guess the vehicles are so heavy, very stable, very smooth ride, and it surprised me. It really did. Of course, they're still
very good handling too, because it's all about weight slow in the car. So,
and you got to make sure you can, you know, power it. That's the problem. So let's talk about.
Well, that's right.
Let's talk about. Somebody texted in and wants to know about refining capacity and how does that affect our oil prices? Because you talked about California shutting down two refineries. We've not built a refinery in this country in a long time, right?
Well, that's right. We keep enhancing the ones we've got. As you know, PBF here in New Orleans just spent $500 million on a rebuild of its facilities, and the other refineries are doing the same sorts of things. In the case of PBF, of course, they were trying to make renewable diesel to ship out to California. Valero's doing the same thing locally. You can say that's an expansion of capacity, of course. It's good for the refiners, but it doesn't really increase the amount of crude oil that gets processed because you're processing vegetable and animal oils.
Somebody wants to know if we'll ever see dollar and a quarter gasoline again, dollar quarter a gallon.
Not in my lifetime, I don't think.
Okay.
I think one of the things people underestimate, though, and it does impact Louisiana quite a bit, is that the predominant source of dispatchable power still in the United States, close to 80% of the power, is coming from things like nuclear and natural gas. And when you stop drilling for oil, you stop drilling for the associated gas that comes up with it. That reduces the supply of gas, which means the gas going into those gas generators, combined cycle plants, et cetera, is more expensive. So your cost of the basic electrons goes up, and of course you got to deliver them. So we don't have the infrastructure really to suddenly switch over to 50%.
Thank you, Professor.